Hello, folks. I need some help here in my notes, my glasses, and my watch. Oops. So Father Myers phoned me a couple of weeks ago and asked, would you give the conference? I was very reluctant because of my busy schedule. But then he was miserable with that virus, whatever. I better take pity on him because really we priests need to help each other. So okay, actually a lucky one because I'm preparing a retreat, Lenten mission for a parish in Ottawa. So I've just squeezed what I'm preparing. And would you say something about Divine Mercy? So yes, I will combine these two. So this is a little bit what I'm preparing for Holy Infant Parish in Orleans, Ottawa, and Divine Mercy. And if there are maybe some questions, I can take a few questions related to this. So the first is about what I'm preparing is theme on Abba Father. Because we experience such a great crisis of fatherhood and this connection with our Heavenly Father. If we don't understand that God is our Father, He's our Abba. And what is Abba? What Abba means? See, in the Jewish family, that was Aramaic. But that Jesus spoke Aramaic, not Hebrew. You would call your father Abba. You wouldn't call little brother Abba. You call your, so you can translate Abba as my father. My father. Some translate it as a daddy, but it's not true. It's not a God. You can call Father, Heavenly Father, Daddy, if you in your private prayer. But God wants to be called Father or Abba, if you want to use Aramaic, because He wants you to enter the family bond. The religion Christianity is not in the first place about set of rules and obligations, but about relationship. And we will never be good sons and daughters of our Abba if we don't understand that He invites us to this relationship with Him through His Son Jesus. And if we haven't discovered Abba in a deeper way, there will be always something missing and craving in us for this. Recently, I found a book of Neil Lozano. Have you heard about Neil Lozano? He was here a couple of years ago and gave a retreat or for only special by invitation, but it was about deliverance. But he has a beautiful book about Abba's heart. His ministry is about the heart of the Father ministry, the heart of the Father. You see, God, in His Son Jesus, has also a human heart. He wants to have a human heart for you through His Son Jesus, through the Incarnation, so that you can find yourself in this heart. So that you find and discover who you are in His love for you. And in this book, in the introduction, Neil Lozano, it's co-authored with Matthew Lozano, his son. In introduction, he starts with this a note from his from Matt's son, Micah. I love you, Dad. Do you love me? So this is the story. My son Matt found this note under the Christmas tree after the last present was open. His son Micah had written the two lines in colored pencil along with a homemade Christmas card. Matt wanted to run and find his own colored pencil and write, yes, right then and there. Micah's note is now taped on Matt's computer as he helps me compose and edit. Just like the heart of the six-year-old writer, the sentiment and question have become one of Matt's dearest treasures. Here is what Matt wrote about this note himself. When Micah wrote that Christmas note, he already knew that I loved him. He hears me say it all the time. Micah tells me that he loves me because he wants to see me respond to him. He does not ask, "Do you love me out of fear or insecurity?" He asks because he desires to hear me say, "I love you." When he hears me, he's dead. Tell him that I love him. When I hold him close, it is as if my strength is flowing into his heart. Micah has chosen to identify himself with me, his father. As I pour out my love on him, his heart brims over with confidence and joy in who he is, his father's son. For many of us, we had a perhaps great experience with our fathers here on earth. For others, maybe not so good. And some others may say, you know, I never knew my father. Wherever you are in your bone with your father, earthly father, remember this, that God is your father. The Heavenly Father revealed himself as your Abba. And he craves to offer you his love and invites you to a deep intimacy with himself. And I think I have to stress on that fact that he wants that intimate relationship with us. We men are not so good on this, you know, in our expression. Maybe you should learn a little bit from your wives or mothers. But really, Father wants to be close to you, and he wants you to be close to him. And how is it possible? Through his Spirit. He gave you his Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. His Spirit. It's not just, you know, we put sometimes a picture of your, you can have a picture of your, photo of your wife or the child, and it's dear to you. He puts his Spirit into your spirit. He made an imprint of his image and likeness on you and breathed his own spirit into you. But we need to discover it by faith. We need to open our lives to this by faith. And the enemy, who is the enemy? Who is the number one enemy? Satan is. Satan is. The book of Revelation speaks about Satan, chapter 12, the accuser of our brothers. The accuser of our brothers, who accuses them day and night. The accuser of our brothers accuses them day and night. What's he doing? Accusing all the time. What's he doing? Accusing your father, earthly father, he was not good enough for you. He accuses God the Father, look, there's so much evil in the world, how good God could possibly love you with so much evil in the world. He accuses you for your own failures and telling you, you're not good enough. You know, there is this conscious and subconscious mind. You go to your prayer and you pray, and do you believe that God listens to your prayers? Or in the back of your mind, maybe you have this doubt, and maybe I'm praying and praying and I'm not getting anything because maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I messed up something. The accuser comes and tells you, your prayer cannot be answered. You are not good enough. Look, you see what you did? Accuser. And sometimes our own parents, our peers, our brothers and sisters add up to this. They unconsciously, they are the you know, agents. They become agents of the devil. They accuse us. They tell you, no, you never do enough. You are always bad. Or maybe you start labeling yourself. Then maybe you do the same against your children, others come. See, the one who feels accused many times become accuser. The one who feels condemned starts condemning others. The one who have not experienced mercy and loving tenderness of the Father finds it difficult to forgive himself and others. And that's why we have such a broken world. People are crying for justice, justice, justice. But they don't see. If God started His justice and moved His angels on us, now collect all these iniquities and put all those wicked people where they belong, do you think that you will be on the right side or left? But the Father is tender mercy. He wants us to discover His heart and hide there. And then be set free from accuser. I want to tell you something personal. I'm taking a risk. Only stays here, right? Don't tell others. You heard it as a confession, so seal of confession. I didn't have a perfect relationship with my father. It's far from perfect. He was a truck driver. He would be at home maybe once or twice a week. He would abuse alcohol. So sometimes when he was around, he was okay. Somehow, sometimes he was not. He was just... But also for the first years I was raised, so to speak, by my grandfathers. My grandmother, my mother was just starting a career as a teacher, and my father was always somewhere driving in Poland. So for the first 7 years, I would be with my grandmother from Monday to Saturday, and then on Sunday I would be with my parents. So there is a great influence on my grandmother. My grandmother went through a terrible war, like many Polish people, grandmothers, grandfathers, and she had to flee with my mother and another, her sister. And I think she went through many hardships and difficulties of life. But she developed this accusatory attitude, you know, condemnatory, that nothing was good. We were never good, me and my brother. We were always the worst. And all other children were better, in other words. And I didn't realize it until I started looking deeply into my own very attitudes, how I become the same person as my grandmother. Easily accusing, easily condemning, easily judging, being irritated. And I would preach about divine mercy and still go and talk about these folks. Look at these guys, you know? And I realized that spirit of condemnation was sitting in me. And so that was a call. I have to do something. I have to come closer to my Heavenly Father, because only He can set me free and only He can reveal His infinite love and show to me, not on the... You see, there is an intellect here. We know here many things. Here we know because we profess. Every Sunday you profess, I believe in God, the Father, and so on. There is lots of catechism. Folks, if you go to these conferences, I hope certain things are staying here, right? You read nice books and do this, you know. But sometimes it's staying here. And we know we can be good preachers, or we can be good catechists, but in a heart we experience cold. Because in our heart we need to meet God by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the Father. He reveals Jesus. You know, remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, you know, that these things are hidden from the intelligent and wise. Who are the intelligent and wise? Those who are only here. They may have doctorates, diplomas, renown, many books, this had knowledge, intelligent. He reveres this to mere children, or some translate even infants, those who cannot even use here, but use here. Because infants' talk is here, not here. So, and the Lord says that nobody knows the Son but the Father. Nobody knows Jesus but the Father. And nobody knows the Father but the Son. And to whom He wishes to reveal. So Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, reveals to us His Father. We come to Jesus and ask Him, Jesus, I beg You, I want to know My Father. I want to know His love. I want to know His tenderness. Please reveal it. You have all of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's at the ground where we stand on the ground, because we receive the Holy Spirit. But we need to, by faith, by the act of faith, we open ourselves to the work, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And this leads us to prayer. I want to say something of prayer. Without prayer, nothing can be achieved. Without prayer, you stay here for this day, for tomorrow, you learn something, it will stay here. Without prayer, it will stay here. With prayer, it goes there, to the heart. And our faith, and our prayer needs to be a prayer of faith. There is so much external prayer. You see, we can do Stations of the Cross, very good thing. Right? Very good thing. It helps us. But if it is only external, it will be only here. You learn something from the stations, nice ideas, it's handy to preach later on. But your heart can be far. And so on. You know, you can do all sorts of devotions, even the rosary. Beautiful prayer. Why it's beautiful? Because it's not only external prayer, what we call oral prayer, or prayer of petition, but also it gives opportunity to meditate on the Word of God and contemplate the mysteries. But again, if it is not, it does not come from the heart, it becomes only the head knowledge, external prayer. And there is a possibility somebody will pray many rosaries a day, very pious, but the heart can be far away from God because it's external. And when we seek God, we need to believe that He is there. Sometimes people pray and ask something for God. Maybe they pray for years. For long years they pray for something, and they just pray as a, you know, it becomes a habit. But they stop believing that they can. Like, I know parents come, you know, I've been praying for a conversion of my children. I've been praying for more than years, and they are not better, they are worse. So what's wrong? We have to pray with the belief that when we turn to our Heavenly Father, He listens and He will give us. But we have to change our attitude, because sometimes we come trying to bribe God, trying to earn that grace, trying to earn this gift from... We cannot... How can you earn gift? Gift is a free act of God, right? So we are praying, and maybe if I just multiply the rosary, maybe if I go to men's conference, I'd be good enough to get this from my Heavenly Father. And we are not getting anything. Why? Because God made a rule. Everything can be obtained but by faith, working through love. So you can pray long rosaries, provided you are inspired by the Holy Spirit. You can spend long prayers, but it's not in order to earn anything from God or make God change his mind. God will never change his mind. But when we pray, we open ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we also meditate on the Word of God. Because Word of God speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. Our prayers should not be just saying some prayers, because prayers we learn, or from a booklet. There are some Catholics who cannot pray without a prayer book. But prayer should come from the heart, inspired by the Word of God. One of the greatest things is Lectio Divina. Divine Mercy. Prayer is Divine Mercy. Why would such a simple thing as turning to God could do, grant you forgiveness of your sins? A simple, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, when you pray from the depth of your heart, turn to the Father. Father, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. The heaven is open and showers of mercy fall upon you. Why would such a simple thing of faith, wise cannot understand? That's the prayer of the heart. Because you go to your daddy, to your heavenly Father. Not to the judge. If you go to the judge and you look at, now, 25 years for this. In the Diary of St. Faustina, we have a beautiful example of how she prayed with a great confidence, especially when she used what we call Divine Mercy Chaplet. Do you pray? Very beautiful prayer. But again, whether you pray Divine Mercy Chaplet, Rosary, any other prayer, go to Mass, remember this. Do it with faith. Do it with favor. Do it with love. Focus on your faith. Focus that you believe God is there for you. And it's important you make a conscious act of faith. Because only through faith you have access to the grace, not through your feelings. Many people, I was trying, you know, maybe I can produce certain feeling to reconnect with God. But God is not in the feeling. God is here. You cannot see Him unless He makes some miracle and reveals His presence in some tangible way. But He is not in the manifestation. He is not in the manifestation. He is behind the manifestation. He can manifest His glory as He did in the Old Testament by what we call Shekinah, glory. But He was not Shekinah. He transcends everything. He can imprint something, some nice images, some sweet odors, some closeness to Him. And praise God and thank Him. Daddy, thank you for this manifestation. But when He removes this, we feel abandoned. Because we rely on this. You understand? We rely on an external things. We are sensual. And the Lord invites us, make an act of faith. What the Word says to you. What the Word says to you. When you turn to me, I listen to you. So she took the beads and prayed on May 22nd, 1937. We have this entry. The heat is so intense today that it is difficult to bear. We are all thirsting for rain, and still it doesn't come. For several days the sky has been overcast, but there is no rain. When I looked at the plants, thirsting for the rain, I was moved with pity. and decided to say the chaplet until the Lord would send us rain. Notice she decided this thing. Until the Lord would send us rain. She didn't put, you know, 4 o'clock today, 6:30 is dinner, so I have 1 hour and 30 minutes. If it rains, good luck. If not, sorry, deal is over. She went there and said, she went with the faith, I will pray until it rains. God, you'll be very busy, because I will not let you go. I will not let you go. I will be praying until you grant me. So she prays these beads. Before supper, the sky covered over the clouds and heavy rain fell on the earth. I had been saying this prayer without interruption for 3 hours. And the Lord let me know that everything can be obtained by means of this prayer. So there is an additional efficacy to this prayer. Every prayer with faith is good. And I would argue you can take a rosary and do the same if you pray with faith. But the Lord gave special efficacy to the Chaplet of Mercy as an intercessory prayer, because what we offer to the Father, not our acts of piety, but the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ Jesus, and which is infinite sacrifice, infinite value for the Father. So we offer back to the Father His only Son, and we act also as His brothers and sisters. We act as sons of the Father when we pray this prayer with trust. And maybe you need some rain on your family or on your life. Not so much wet, but rain of God's graces, of the Holy Spirit. What it is in your life that's happening. I want you to pray with the conviction that you will receive it, because Abba wants good thing for you. And not because that you are good, but because He is good. There is this, remember this incident, it's in Numbers 20, when Moses, people came and complained, Moses, we have no water. Why did you bring us here? You know, these people were always complaining, yapping around. You know, I can identify, because I'm very close to this, you know, yapping around. They had already food provided, you know. And where is water, Moses? And Moses was so outraged, but he went, okay, I will talk to God. And God said, you will give them water. Take their stick and strike their rock, and you give them water. And Moses went there, and he looked like them. You rebels! Boom! Have this water! You know what happened? Of course, water came for the rebels. But the Lord came to Moses and said, you did not display my holiness, and you will not, therefore you will not enter the Holy Land. You will just see a little bit. God punished him for what? Why did he not reveal? Because Moses, after so many things, you know, we know that he was very compassionate. He prayed for them to be saved when they made this golden calf. He prayed them when they were beaten up by snakes, and God gave them a medicine. But his compassion is finally running out. You see, because he's human. Listen, if your compassion is running out now and then, and you beat your sons and daughters, don't beat yourself. You're just a human. You just repent. But God is not human. And we make mistake when we project, God probably is running out of his mercy on me, because I mess up so many times that there is no more. And this is the devil's talk, the accuser. He's accusing you and telling you that God will not forgive you. You mess up so many times that shame on you, and you call yourself a practicing Catholic. And God gave them water, and they were rebels, and they were sinners, and they were unworthy. And they were born as slaves. They didn't know how to live a life of freedom. And God gave them water. Why? because he is the father and they are his children. He gives good things to his children simply because they are his children, and because he is good, not they are good. So next time the accuser comes to you, tell him like this: get lost, I am a sinner, I should be hanged there on this cross, but Jesus hanged for me and I am forgiven because I'm unworthy of anything, but God is good and he's merciful, and you have no right to accuse me anymore. In the book of Revelation, we continue to read it. The accuser accuses them day and night. But what was the solution? But they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus Christ. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. What does it mean? So, the blood of the Lamb is what Jesus did on the cross. He disarmed the enemy. He has no right to accuse you anymore. You just avail yourself of the power of the blood. How do we do this? We repent. If necessary, we go to the sacrament of confession. Our souls are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of the testimony, what does it mean? We proclaim this by faith. We proclaim, I believe. I need to proclaim. Sometimes I need to proclaim outright. Verbalize it. Because when you verbalize it, it has a bigger impact on you. But also the enemy hears. Listen, enemy, you will not accuse me because I've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus who died for me on the cross. And I receive the mercy of the Father in the name of Jesus. And it settles it. Divine Mercy Sunday. I don't know whether somebody will be preaching, but Divine Mercy Sunday is probably the greatest feast after Easter. It completes the power of what Jesus did on the cross and power of his resurrection. On Easter, he is risen, he triumphed. But for what he triumphed? He triumphed to bring freedom to the two children of God. Correct? And Divine Mercy completes this because on Divine Mercy Sunday, we receive the outpouring of the mercy of God. And the Lord promised not only just forgiveness of sins, that would be not enough. He said that, my daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire the feast of mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for sinners. On the day, the very depth of my tender mercy open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. So the soul that will go to confession, receive Holy Communion, shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On the day, all the divine floodgates through which graces flow are open. Floodgates. When I was studying this Divine Mercy, I was thinking, it's mostly about, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness, and I need some kind of plenary indulgence that, sin is sin, I go to confession, but, if I die, I probably spend lots of time in purgatory. So this is a good opportunity. And it's true, avail yourself, such is God's mercy that he cancels everything, like he cancels at the baptism. See? Baptism is total, tabula rasa, your soul is deleted by the mercy of God, by power of God. So we cannot, of course, be rebaptized, but we can avail ourselves of the same grace on Divine Mercy Sunday. Listen, you will receive the same deal as you were if you were baptized right now. But there is even more. All the floodgates of graces are open. That is Whatever you need, though, there's rains of graces that we need to be unstuck from our sinful tendencies, from different, you know, we have emotional needs, maybe brokenness in the family, maybe hurts of the past, of the childhood. God can heal us if we ask for it with faith. Even financial needs, you know, we Catholics don't. I find Catholics very feeling guilty for asking for money, you know, maybe because they are cheap too. You know. I mean, honestly, we don't tithe in the church, right? Listen, I am not raising any question of money here, but we can go to our Heavenly Father with every need. Because it's a family bond. Listen, in the family, you go to your dad. Dad, can I have 10 bucks? And he will say yes or no, but he will not throw you through the window. But if you go to your uncle, it may be a little bit more difficult with your uncle. But if you go to a stranger, he will be like, something wrong with him. You know. What do you want? You can work in that clean hour I give you for your work. Good work, I give you 10 bucks. You go to your father, and father, I need 10 bucks. Can you give me? Of course not. Of course, yes, depends. And he will not give you 10 bucks because you deserve it or you don't deserve it. You are fathers. Why do you give money to your children? Because they are in need. And surely you use discipline that if they don't behave you. So the Heavenly Father also uses sometimes discipline. Not yet. But he does not look at because we earn something or not. It's a family bond. You will change your thinking about religion if you understand it's all about family bond. And family covenant in the blood of Jesus. And not just because they are regulations. They are commandments. They are, for those who love Jesus, just they want to do this. And they have it written in their hearts. So, that will be just a few more weeks to prepare ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves? Do you remember? Good confession. Every confession should be good confession, all right? So, they will probably talk about confessions. I don't want to repeat. Good confession. Doesn't need to be on Divine Mercy Sunday. Have pity on priests. We are also tired after Holy Week. Never ever. You see, I know Polish, okay? I read the diary, the original language, all right, of this message. Please. It doesn't say it must be on Divine Mercy Sunday. On Divine Mercy Sunday, you go to church and receive homily communion. If you are sick, you can ask the church to send a priest, and it will be also valid for you to receive all the graces of Divine Mercy Sunday. Maybe before, week before, 2 weeks before. The idea that it's afresh, that you refresh your soul, that you are in the sanctifying grace. You know, the church said, you know, 21 days. So, because we are legalistic, so the church said 21 days, okay. But you know, what if you did something between, you know, and it's Divine Mercy? Well, go to confession. But not on the day, because priests are working. And of course, priests should make themselves available prior to this feast. Also, the Lord said about acts of mercy, which is very much forgotten. When we seek God's mercy, we need to show some mercy, at least some deeds of mercy. We can use the novena, there's this novena, or I would say certainly try to forgive someone. Don't go there asking for mercy when you feel that your brother or sister has something against you. Remember what the Lord said. Take your gift before from that altar. It's too holy. You cannot bring your gift if it is dirty with your resentment. Go back and reconcile with your brother and sister. And many other forms of mercy, you know, corporal works of mercy, visiting a sick, going to the prison, visit someone in the prison, praying for someone, praying for the souls in purgatory. Also, there are many ways, you know. Taking inventory. Am I merciful? Am I merciful to myself? Or hide myself for past mistakes and I need really renew my faith in the mercy. Because it becomes a slogan sometimes, mercy, mercy, mercy. But we beat ourselves with a baseball bat, you know, I did this, I did this, I did this. Accuser. Tell him, no, no, no. Divine Mercy Sunday celebration is not primary about 3 o'clock prayer in the afternoon and cutting a cake afterwards. Because sometimes, you know, I want to tell you, there is the telephone a year ago. Father, are you celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday? What do you think? Am I a heretic or something? I am a Catholic priest, and Holy Father proclaimed Divine Mercy Sunday in the year 2000. We all celebrate the Divine Mercy Sunday. Because it is called Second Sunday of Easter, that is Divine Mercy Sunday. There may be different levels of splendor we can attach. How do you celebrate Christmas? Putting a Christmas tree and having turkey and not go to church, like many Christians today? They don't go to church, they are too busy, but we celebrate Christmas. We have a Christmas tree, we have a nice meal, we enjoy family. Is Christmas about this or about celebrating the Eucharist? This is how you celebrate a feast. You go to the this is a public worship of the church. This is the public liturgy of the church. You participate. This is number one thing we do. And in some parishes, if there are special groups of that profile of devotion, you can have afternoon meeting and prayer meeting, but don't force priests to do extra time for you. You can pray this by yourself. I would argue this one. This is my recipe. Listen, you prepare yourself by good confession. You show some kind of mercy, beginning with yourself. Go to church, receive the Eucharist, participate, and ask your Heavenly Father for all the needs for your life. Lord, I want that floodgates on me, like now. I want to be wet. Bring on. I need everything. Don't put limits, because the accuser, no, it's too much you're asking. Come on, you are not a saint. Why do you ask him so much? Well, I tell you, if you put a limit to God's mercy, God will not give you the same. Because the Lord said very clearly, the only vessel we scoop from the ocean of mercy is trust. If you have great trust, you will receive more. If you have little trust, you have less. So don't limit. I want everything for me, for my family, for my ancestors, for my whole family, for my country, for this world. Go big. This Divine Mercy Sunday, the Holy Father wants us to go big in asking for mercy, for the total transformation of this sinful world. And don't put limits to God's mercy, because he wants to do something special this year. And then, with your family, you go home. Then have a little prayer together. Maybe Divine Mercy Chaplet. Maybe read something about mercy. Speak to your children about mercy. Grant them your pardon. As fathers, do we have fathers here? Raise your hand if you are a father. And you say, Joseph, you mess up many times. Betty, remember... You know, you took my car, you wrecked this reflector. I told you, you know. Okay, by the authority vested me as a father of this family, I pardon all your sins. Total amnesty. What about this? What do you think? Would work? Or you are not at ease with your children, you know? Go to the Father and ask, Father, do you want me to do plenary indulgence for my children, for all that, you know, mischief they did? Because you see, maybe they need to learn from you that there is a merciful Father. That mercy triumphs over justice. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.